is Jimmy Clitheroe as the Clitheroe Kid, with Peter Sinclair, Patricia Burke, Danny Ross, and Diana Day in...
The Share Out.
£20, £25, £30, £35.
Well, that's the Christmas cards all sent to my Christmas shopping. Nearly finished. Have you finished yours yet, Father?
What? No, not yet, Pat. £35, £40, £45.
Abby and Susan are getting themselves a present with the trading stamps they've been saving. Did Susan show you the catalogue?
No, Pat, no. No, then. £35, £40, no. Oh, I give up. £5, £10, £15, £20.
Oh, listen to you. You'd think you were settling the national debt, not checking the Darts Club Christmas share out.
Look, I've got to make sure it's all here, all £150 of it. If there's any of it missing at the Rose and Crown tomorrow night, they'll be sharing me out in little pieces.
How many of you are there in this swindle?
There's 15 of us at a tenner a time. We've been saving all year. Now, stop pestering me, Pat. I've had enough trouble from our Jimmy about this money. Oh, where is he, by the way?
In the front room, helping Susan and Alfie to decide what to get with their trading stamps.
And, Susan, for £5, you can get some bathroom scales. Listen, a super spring scale, 5 years guarantee, weighs up to 20 stone. 20 stone?
That's right, Alfie. Oh, Susan in a bikini.
I'll smack you in a minute.
Oh, well, for I wasn't laughing.
Oh, I mean our Jimmy.
Oh, look, Susan, how do you fancy your new clock?
A good idea, Alfie. The old one's getting very wrinkled, isn't it?
Yeah. No, it's alarming. Susan says, clock, alarm. I think you should have luminous hands.
You mean for eating chips in the dark?
Yeah. Hands on the clock, now behave. And put them boots of stamps back in the envelope.
Oh, all right. Keep your feathers on, bird brain.
Well, give them to me. I'll put them in this drawer. They'll be safe there till you take them to the gift shop, Alfie.
You're right, yeah, Susan.
Now, I've got to go and get changed. I'm going out with Mother and Grandad to the shops after tea.
You're doing right, Susan. Now, I'll see you. Yeah, well, I won't, because I won't be here. But they say it, you know, see you. Ta-da.
Bye, Alfie. Don't drink too much tonight.
Don't worry, Susan. Alfie knows when he's had enough. The floor jumps up and hits him.
Excuse me, Alfie. I just want to put something in the front room drawer. Well, I'll see you, Alfie.
Yeah, see you, Mr. Sinclair.
You'll not see you in a minute, but I'll see you. But I'll see you, Jimmy.
You can't go yet. You haven't left anything for the carol singers.
What carol singers?
I wish you a Merry Christmas. I wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. That's four singers at sixpence each. Two bob, please.
Ah, very funny. Now I'll give you Silent Night. Come here while I chloroform you.
Oh, was that you laughing, Alfie?
No, Grandad. The farmers delivered the turkey 5 days early.
No, that'll do, Jimmy. Well, I'll see you,
Mr. Sinclair. Now then, have I got everything?
Oh, what a question to ask.
Court, crash helmet, catalogue. Oh, I can't leave the book of stamps in the envelope. Yeah, hang on while I pop in the front room.
Right, Alfie. Oh, some grown-ups are daft. They'll buy any old rubbish as long as they get stamps. Hey, I wonder how many stamps they want to take our Susan. I'm coming. Yes?
How do? Compliments of the season, dustman.
Same to you. Got no money, schoolboy.
Oh, very comical. I've got one ear.
What happened to the other ear? Did somebody bite it off?
Oh, met my match today, I have. Could I speak to the grown-ups who've reared this comic genius?
No, they're out. But while you're here, you can empty our rubbish for us.
Oh, well, where's you been?
I've been to school. Where's you been?
Look, Sonny, I think that's enough of the comedy.
You're right. Let's go into the song. When you're smiling, when you're... smiling.
Look, Sonny, I'm not here to empty your bin. I've called for the dustman's Christmas box.
But you're not our dustman. He's a tall fellow with a big cap and a flat nose. Or is it a flat cap and a big nose? Anyway, you're not him. You're little and fat.
Yes, I don't do that job. I'm too small for emptying dustbins.
Well, what do you empty then? Ashtrays?
Oh, you're a funny little boy. Look, do you know the man who drives your dust cart?
No.
Good, that's who I am.
Oh, sorry. It was the rolled umbrella and the bowler hat that fooled me. Are you on strike?
No. Look, I believe in dressing decently when I'm on the scrounge, on the round, collecting the Christmas boxes. Housewives don't want to deal with a scruff when they're handing over their... Did you say you had no money?
Well, I haven't.
I thought not. I could tell as soon as I saw the house. No luck at this place, I said. I'll strike no oil here, I said. I'll bet this family don't know what a £5 note looks like, I said.
Well, that's where you're wrong, I said. Me grandad's got a drawer full of them.
What, fivers?
Yeah, 150 quid's worth, all stacked away in a safe place.
Oh, well, that's different. But he wants to be careful. A burglar could soon break into his bedroom.
He'd be wasting his time. We've hidden the money in the front room.
Oh, yes, very clever. Yes, the front room, of course. Behind the clock on the mantelpiece.
Do you think we're daft? It's in an envelope at the back of the sideboard drawer.
Brilliant! They'll never find it there. Well, I must be on my way, so I'll...
What's up? Are you poorly?
Oh, it's my old war wound. Very painful it is. Do you know what a dislocated fibula tibia is?
No.
Good. Well, that's what I've got. Oh, dear, I feel faint. Can I come in and sit down for a minute?
Yeah, of course. Come in. Oh. Lean on my shoulder.
Oh, thanks, son. Just sit me down on the sideboard. A chair in the front room.
Right, here you are. Gently, does it? Oh. Lower away.
Oh, thanks. Oh, that's better. Oh, I still feel a bit faint, though. Is that the sideboard where you keep the money, the brandy?
Oh, I don't think we've got any of that. But I could get you a drink of water from the kitchen.
Oh, good. But I'm not supposed to have it too cold. The water's got to be warmed in a kettle.
What for?
Well, to give me time to get the to get my breath back. Oh, the pain. Oh, the agony. I'm nearly passing out. Hurry, son, hurry.
Oh, right, mister. Oh. I won't be a minute. Don't go away.
No, I won't, son, I won't. Now then, where is it? 150 quid, he said.
The big hole I've had to cut it with.
Where the hell is it? Ah, this must be it. This envelope.
I was just thinking, mister.
Hey, what? What are you playing at startling me like that, you meddling young brat?
Would you rather have a cup of tea?
Tea? Oh, no, thanks. I've recovered now.
But I've got the kettle on and it won't take a minute. And there's some biscuits. I'd like you to try them, because if you have one, I can have one.
No, thanks, Sonny. I'll be on my way. I'm fine now, just fine.
There you are, James. I've checked with my office on the phone, and the man is definitely not a dustman in the cleansing department. He is an imposter.
Well, don't just stand there, Mr. Brocklebank. Get on to the imposters department.
James, be serious. The man is going around getting money under false pretenses. He must be apprehended.
I know, but you've got to catch him first.
That's what I mean, James. But it won't be easy. I know his sort. He's always one jump ahead of us.
Well, if you don't catch him, I'll be one jump ahead of the ambulance every time me grandad kicks me.
James, you keep expressing concern about your grandfather. Where does he come in?
Through the front door, waving an empty whiskey bottle.
I don't follow you.
No, you be in front of me. Then he'll clout you instead.
Explain yourself, boy. Explain.
Well, that man, that bill poster.
Imposter.
Yes, him. He did get some money here.
Oh, how much?
150 smackers.
Oh, well, I mean, it's not as if 150 pounds.
Yes, the Darts Club Christmas money that me grandad drew out of the bank today.
The man pretended to be ill, and he had a footfully tibby-tibby, and when I was in the kitchen getting him a drink, the money out of the sideboard.
I see.
But I'm still a little puzzled. I mean, how did he know where to look for it?
Because I told him.
Oh. James, there's someone at the front door.
It's him again. Hmm? He's come back to pinch the sideboard as well.
Don't be silly. He wouldn't dare come back here.
Well, if it's the real dustman looking for his Christmas box, he's had me grandad's tanner now.
Oh, can I help you, gentlemen?
Yes. Get out the way.
No!
That's not a gentleman. That's Mr. Higginbottom.
I'll do him, I will.
James. Hello, Mr. Higginbottom. Oh, and it's Mr. Whittle, is it not?
Yes, Hum. That is my nomenclature. We've called on our way to the local hostelry to inveigle Jim's grandeye to quiff in a few bevies of hop juice.
Oh, I beg your pardon?
They're taking me grandad for a skinful.
Oh. Well, I'm afraid Mr. Sinclair is out at the moment. Shopping, I believe you said, James?
Yes, it's for his Christmas dinner. He's gone out to buy a new corkscrew.
He's a little joker, isn't he, eh?
He should be in Dad's army as one of the targets.
Oh, yes? And you should be in the Navy lock as one of the Foghorns.
Let me get hold of him. I'll have his guts for shoelace.
No, no, you won't.
Oh, would you rather have yours, then?
No, don't unhack me, you elf. You're cramping my lapel.
Oh, turn it up, Piggy. Don't be so digressive. Jim, don't keep trying to get Piggy insensible.
Now then, we really wanted to see your granddad to check that he's drawn the money out. You know about the money, don't you, Jim?
Oh, yes, I know all about the money.
Yeah, good. Because we've already arranged to spend our 10 quid each, haven't we, Iggy?
Yeah. Tell Pete I want 2 10-bobs in my 10 quid. I'm buying the wife and the mother a Christmas present each. The other 9 quid will do in onces. It's only for my booze.
Charming.
Look, Mr. Higginbottom, about this money...
Tell Pete, if we don't see him tonight, we'll see him tomorrow night for the share-out.
Yes, but I think there's something I should tell you. Cause...
Only we don't want a repetition of last year when Billy Fairchild was the treasurer. Cracking on, he'd had the money pinched off him. No wonder somebody put the boot in. You were saying, Clitheroe?
Nothing, I was talking to myself. I'm going daft, cheerio. What happened to this fella?
Oh, it was a tragical story, Jim. Billy Fairchild tried to say he had the money pinched from his house. Stuck to his story like a lumpet, he did. In fact, he was still saying he was innocent when he was dislodged from hospital.
You mean to say that the poor man was physically assaulted just for not having the money with him?
Well, 4 bob a week we'd been saving. That means we went without 2 pints a week for a whole 12 month. So that was it. He was trapped round the back and nearly hung up by the chain. Anyway, we're wasting valuable drinking time, Whittle. We'll see the old man tomorrow night.
Well, I'll stop here, Iggy, till Pete comes back.
Suit yourself. I'll be in Bessie's bar, the one with the big eyes.
Well, that's it. I know what I'll be getting for a Christmas present. A coffin.
Nil desperandum, James. All is not yet lost.
Hey, look, I'm absolutely befuddled.
What's going on?
I don't know, but I can tell you what will be coming off. First me pants and then me skin.
Now, James, let us not look on the black and blue side. The back side. The black side. There are 2 things we must do. Tell your grandfather what has happened and run you round to the police station.
Yes, there are 2 things we must do. Get the police to tell me Grandad what's happened and run me round to Liverpool Dock.
Liverpool Dock?
Yes, there's a whaling boat leaving for the North Pole. I'll be away 2 years. You might have forgotten by the time I get back.
What's this all about?
Would somebody please hallucinate?
In a moment, Mr. Whittle. Look, James, your grandfather is not the ogre you sometimes make him out to be. I'm sure that once he's got over the initial shock, he'll just take you on his knee.
And belt me with his slipper.
Well, that would hardly be fair. I mean, you could say he himself ought to be punished for leaving that money in such a foolish place. But you've nothing to worry about. Show me your grandfather and I'll show you a reasonable man.
Oh, yes, he'll be marvellous. He'll buy me grapes and sweets and comics when he comes to visit me in hospital. I'll be in Billy Fairchild's bed.
James, you mustn't talk like this. Your grandfather is old, mature, kind, thoughtful, forgiving. Those are the words I'd use to describe your grandfather. Whatever you may have done, I know that he loves you deep down inside.
This time you've done it, my lad. I'm going to give you the biggest hiding you've ever had in your life.
Wait a minute, Grandad. It's not all my fault. You were the fool who left the money in a daft place.
What?
Well, that's what Mr. Brocklebank said. Didn't you, Mr. Brocklebank?
Oh, you did you?
No, not exactly. I said it was a foolish place.
Now, you stop trying to involve Mr. Brocklebank.
Well, he said me grandad wouldn't be cross because he was an old man.
I said old and mature.
I'll thank you not to discuss my age or anything else, you pale-faced petunia.
Oh!
Grandad, I don't think there's any need for that.
It's quite all right, Susan. I can understand your grandfather is upset.
But he'll be kind and forgive me once he gets over the shock.
Who said I will?
Mr. Brocklebank.
I don't want to hear what Mr. Brocklebank says. I'm angry, I'm mad, I'm furious.
Well, Mr. Brocklebank, there's me grandad. Where's this reasonable man you're going to show me?
Jimmy, if you don't behave, I'll smack you. Never mind your grandad.
Me grandad's not going to hit me. He loves me deep down inside. Mr. Brocklebank said...
Brocklebank, if I hear one more word of what you've said, I'll string you up by your suspenders.
Grandad, it's not Mr. Brocklebank saying it, it's our Jimmy.
That's a lie, isn't it, Mr. Brocklebank?
Yes, I mean no. No, I don't know what I mean. I think I'll go home.
There's no need to be frightened. Me grandad's not an ogre, like you said.
Oh, so I'm an ogre, am I?
No, Mr. Sinclair, I said you weren't the ogre people think you are. I mean, sometimes. Not are, think. Oh, dear.
Father, this has gone far enough. Our Jimmy's the cause of the trouble.
As always.
It's nothing to do with you, Scraggy. Go in the kitchen and ruin the supper. Ow! Oh, you hit me, Al, Mum.
I'll hit you again if you don't behave.
You don't love me like me grandad does. Does she, Mr. Brocklebank?
No. I mean, yes. Oh, leave me out of this, please.
Look, Father, it's no good going on like this. Let's see if we can think of a way to help you.
How can anyone help me? I need £150 by tomorrow night.
Well, let's see how much we can raise between us. I've got a few pounds in the post office.
You told me you were broke yesterday when I asked you for a bob.
Shut up! Very kind of you, Susan, but we couldn't raise more than about, £20 between us.
Well, I've got fourpence. How much have you got, Mr. Brocklebank?
Well, my sister keeps the money in her bank, and I'm afraid I've had my allowance for this month.
Don't be cheeky, Jimmy. We couldn't take money from Humphrey.
Certainly not. I've got myself into this trouble, and I'll have to get myself out of it.
So it was your fault. You were right, Mr. Brocklebank. Oh, Mr. Brocklebank, you hit me.
Yes, I've always been against violence, but in your case, I'm willing to make an exception.
Oh, dear.
Where the heck would have got to? Why does he come back? What time is it, Jimmy?
2:03. The last time you asked, it was 1 minute past, and the next time it'll be beep, beep, beep. 3 minutes past precisely.
Oh, cut out the comedy.
Whittle doesn't turn up with that money, the darts club will pin me against the wall and use me for a board.
If they do, they'll have no trouble hitting double bottom.
I've warned you, stop being funny.
Now then, what's wrong this time?
It's just me grandad getting worried in case it loses.
In case what loses?
Oh, never mind, Pat.
The horse has put his £25 on.
What? Father, don't tell me you've put all the money we could raise on a horse.
He doesn't have to. I've just told you.
Will you shut up?
My man was only asking a question.
You, I mean. Look, Pat, £25 couldn't get me out of my trouble. And Whittle had this tip in the 2:30 race.
Yes, ma'am. He said it was straight from the horse's neck.
It could win in a town carter with Fred Henley riding it.
Oh, do be quiet. Well, I think it's ridiculous, Father.
Oh, look, Pat, I might as well take a chance. I can't be any worse off.
doors, Mr. Whistle said. You might as well be screw up for a sheep as a lamb chop.
Jimmy, will you keep out of it? Well, Father, I only hope Mr. Whittle's confidence is justified.
Well, I am a bit worried, Pat. It's nearly 3:05. I thought he'd been back by now.
It might be taking him a long time to count the money. He said it was 71 in the paper this morning, and that meant you'd have £200 to come back.
Oh, maybe it's all in them new 10-bob pieces, and he's biting them to see if the good ones.
Oh, that'll be him now. Oh, dear. You let him in, Pat. I didn't.
All right. Just keep your fingers crossed.
I'll keep everything crossed. Even me eyes.
Come in, Harry. Father's waiting.
All right, Pat. I'd better see him then. In here, is he?
Yes.
Oh, dear. Do you hear his voice, Jim? The money's gone.
Oh, hello, Pete. I'm afraid you haven't...
I know. The horse lost.
You should have let the horse ride for them, Luke.
Oh, no, Pete. No, the horse won all right.
But, unfortunately, don't tell me you didn't get the bet on.
Or they'll be stringing up two lamb chops.
Will you shut up, Jimmy? Look, I backed it, and it won.
But there must have been a lot of money on it, because it was only 2-1. So you've won nearly £50, and your own 25 back makes about £75 you have.
I see. So I'm still £75 short.
That's right.
Well, thanks anyway, Harry.
I'll answer it. Don't worry, Father. We'll think of something.
Look, I don't want my 10, Pete. And you don't. So that's only 55 you've got to find.
Ah, Harry, but it's still a lot of money. Although, well, maybe some of them would be willing to wait a bit for their share.
Yes, the banks are open on Monday.
I've no money in the bank, so I can't get any out.
You could if you borrowed me Mam's stocking and my water pistol.
Oh, shut up with your nonsense.
The police on the phone.
That's quick. You haven't even robbed the bank yet.
They caught the thief. He was doing the dustman trick somewhere else.
Thank goodness.
But they said he denies taking any money from here, and they didn't find it on him.
What? I'm going to that police station. He'll tell me where the money is, or I'll trim his whiskers with my dirk.
And if that doesn't frighten him, Grandad, tell him you'll play the bagpipes.
Right, well, come on, then. I've got the old Chipotle outside. I'll drive you there.
Quiet, please. Will you shut up, or I'll arrest the three of you?
Look here, Sergeant. I've been robbed, and I want to see this thief you've caught.
Ah, that's right. So get him in, and let's have an identical parade.
Yeah, give him 99 years, and if he doesn't hand over the money, make it life.
All in good time. You'll see him when the detective inspector has finished questioning him. You'll bring him through here to charge him.
There's only one question I want to ask him. Where's my money?
Oh, Sergeant, has the car got back from this fella's home yet?
No, sir, but they shouldn't be long.
That's him, Grandad, in the room, sitting at the table, drinking tea.
Well, let me know as soon as they arrive.
That's lovely, that is. A thief steals all my money. You catch him and then have a blooming tea party.
Now, the inspector knows what he's doing. A cigarette and a cup of tea often make a thief talk.
You want to get our Susan here. A cup of her tea could make him scream.
So it's true, you are here. Good work, Sergeant. You caught the old Scotch crook before he could get across the border, eh?
What are you on about, Higgy?
You, pinching the club money.
Hey, watch what you're saying, Higgy. That's inflammation of character, Darth. In front of witnesses. The thief's in that room, grizzling tea with a scuffer. A detective.
So watch it, or you might be having your supper in Dartmoor.
Shut your cake, old Clitheroe, and I'll put my boot in it.
Who are you?
He's the vicar.
Higginbottom's his name. He used to be a friend of mine.
With friends like that, who needs enemies?
I won't warn you again.
Look, what are you doing here?
What am I doing? I've come to see what's happened to my share of the money.
Right, come on, this way.
Here he is, Grandad. That's him. I couldn't forget an ugly face like his.
Right, you thief. What have you done with my money?
Get off me, Inspector. Stop him.
Now then, sir, you mustn't molest the prisoner.
No, don't molest him, Grandad. Bash him.
Sir, this young lad says he recognises the prisoner as the man who stole some money from his house.
I've never seen the little brat before.
Oh, you big fibber. Your tongue will drop off.
If he doesn't say where the money is, I'll pull it off.
Oh, am I glad I found you at last. Your dad didn't know he'd had your money stolen until my mother told me that Susan had rang up while she was washing my dad's pyjamas. You know, not Susan washing them, my mum. Well, Susan was ringing them. You're ringing to tell her somebody had stolen it. So I came straight to the police station, but you weren't here. There. Yeah, it was the wrong one, but this is the one.
Who the hell? Who are you?
Spluttering Sam.
Hold him down, sister. Gimme you.
It's Alfie Hall. Never mind him. Are you going to make this thief tell you what he did with our money?
I haven't seen your money.
Mr. Sinclair, I came...
Shut up, Alfie! Now, listen, you thief. Before I leave here, you're going to talk.
Let me have it for 2 minutes. He'll talk faster than daft Alfie here.
It's a pity we weren't in Chicago, which is in the third degree with hoof bags and knuckle dusties.
Hold on. There's nobody going to touch him in here.
Well, can we take him for a walk? On the roof.
Listen, I've got to tell you...
If you don't belt up, I'll tie a knot in your neck.
Inspector. Inspector, you've got no right to let them threaten me like this.
I know you're right, but if you did this job, you'd be sensible to cough it. I mean, we've got you on the other one. You might as well come clean on any other jobs and have them taken into account.
Oh, I suppose you're right. Okay, I did trick the kid into letting me in the house.
At last.
But I didn't pinch any money.
You're lying, thieving...
All I took was that envelope the inspector's got.
Yes, with me granddad's money in.
And also, this envelope contains 5 books of trading stamps.
What?
Hey there, mine. He stole my stamps, you blooming thief.
But where's the 150 quid that was taken?
That's what I've been trying to tell you. When I left their house, I took the envelope with my stamps in. But when I looked at them this morning, they changed into £150. And I didn't know where it had come from till Susan rang me mum in my dad's pyjamas. No, not Susan, I mean. Me mum, not in them, washing them.
Some twits mothers have them. Alfie Hall, your mother would have been better off if the stork had brought her a pound of butter.
Those involved with the Clitheroe Kid this week were Peter Sinclair as grandfather, Patricia Burke as mother, Danny Ross as Alfie Hall, Diana Day as Susan, Tony Melody as Mr. Higginbottom, Brian Truman as Mr. Whittle, Colin Edwin as Humphrey Brocklebank, Arnold Peters as the thief, and Brian Mosley as the sergeant. The recorded programme was written by James Casey and Frank Roscoe, produced by James Casey, and starred Jimmy Clitheroe as the kid himself.
Again, because when we got home, my mum said we should thank him. Well, if he hadn't made a mistake, the thief would have got the money. And my grandad had won £50 on the horse, so he gave Alfie £10, Mr. Whittle £10 for giving him the tip, and Susan £10 for lending him £5 to help out. I said if I hadn't let the thief in, he wouldn't have thought of backing the horse. So I deserve £10. But I'd settle for 5. Or 1. Or 10 shillings. Or 2 bob. All I got was 3 yards start when he chased me out of the house. There's no gratitude. Ta-ra! Thank you.